proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast. We continue our study on Israel's post-exilic revival, an event described in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra the scribe had learned about the Jewish exiles intermarrying with non-Jews. He grieved over it, prayed to God about it. A group of prominent leaders, such as Shechaniah, had promised to support Ezra in his efforts to eradicate that sin from among the Jews. Yet an important question arises. How would the Jewish people react to this reform suggested by Ezra? Before we tackle that issue, let's address another question. According to Deuteronomy chapter 24, God allowed Jewish men to divorce their wives if they found uncleanness in them. This provision, which Jesus Christ in Matthew 19 said resulted from the hardness of their hearts, differed from what God's original plan for marriage was. As God stated in the second chapter of the book of Malachi, he, quote, hateth putting away, unquote. That is to say that God is intrinsically opposed to the act of divorce. Why then would God allow, indeed mandate, the Jewish people to divorce their non-Jewish spouses? As we've seen, under the Mosaic Law, God forbade intermarriage between Jews and non-Jews. Such unions, as contracted by Ezra's contemporaries, such unions thus had no legitimacy in God's sight. Furthermore, God intended for marriage as a way of enabling his people to produce what he termed a, quote, godly seed, unquote, as described in the second chapter of Malachi. Such a result would not happen if Jews intermarried outside of their faith, facing the real possibility that their children would be brought up outside of the tenets of Judaism, something that actually happened in Ezra's day. In the 13th chapter of his book, Nehemiah listed one adverse effect of Jewish intermarriage with non-Jews. Quote, in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Progeny came from such unions, and these children, having lost what was termed the language of the Jews, would soon lose their Jewish identity entirely. Ezra acted quickly. He summoned Jewish men from the territories assigned to the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. In the 10th chapter of his book, Ezra told them, quote, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. They replied, quote, as thou hast said, so must we do, unquote. They accepted Ezra's request. However, many of that scribe's Jewish contemporaries had married non-Jewish women. Divorce proceedings would take a long time to conclude. Therefore, the congregation of Israelites decided to undertake this work in stages, beginning with the Jewish nation's religious and civil leaders. These initial proceedings lasted for a period of 3 months. Note that the effects of this action did not last for very long. Nehemiah 13 suggested that when Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem after a period of absence, he learned that the Jewish people had become backslidden in this matter. They had forsaken the temple worship. Some Jews had profaned the Sabbath day by working and engaging in business transactions. It seemed that their resolve to follow God under Ezra seemed ephemeral, temporary, at least. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.